We love him. He's one of our favorite one of our favorite interviews of all time. He used to be a regular with us, and then apparently he left us. I don't know what happened. He is the newest. He is the newest member.
We'll pay more.
Yeah, we'll give you a few extra bucks and a jacket. Congratulations, the Hall of Fame here in New England, Rodney. Congratulations.
Amen, brother. I just I'm very thankful for the fans for, you know, voting me in. Obviously a little disappointed because Mike Vrabel and Richard Seymour, two guys definitely worthy of you know, Hall of Fame consideration, and you know, hopefully one day, you know, both those guys will be in. But man, myself, my kids, my family, my wife were just so ecstatic. Didn't even think that I was going to be named to the Hall of Fame. I felt like because Richard and Mike Vrabel were longer tenured guys, you know, figured they would get the consideration. But I'm just very, very thankful for the fans. I appreciate it, and I'm just very grateful right now.
So is this, I mean, is this kind of like the real Hall of Fame, like the NFL Hall of Fame, where, you know, you're sitting in a hotel room and somebody knocks on your door and says and congratulates you, or does somebody call you?
Actually, Mr. Kraft called me, and he congratulated me, and I'm like, what are you calling me for, Mr. Kraft? And he hit me up and let me know, and he was just so happy and proud, and I thanked him for the opportunity. But it was pretty cool, man. Just, you know, I mean, it was kind of bittersweet because I hate to see my boys not get in. I wish the Patriots would have waived this and made it where all three of us could have gotten in. But, you know, Richard called me right away. Mike Vrabel reached out to me, Teddy, Willie, all those guys, man. It was just great.
You know, Rodney, I think it was Tommy Curran at the article the other day about, you know, when you came here, it wasn't like you came here to make friends. You know what I mean? Because it just seemed like that was just your attitude, the way you played the game. But obviously you did make friends, and the fan base, I think, appreciated it. But just go. Can you go back and think about the times when you actually, when you signed that contract and you became a member of the New England Patriots?
I knew what you know, it's funny because I was sitting there and I was thinking, okay, do I look at Denver and how much money they're paying me? But something in my spirit just made me sign with the Patriots. I just knew after talking to Coach Belichick and Scott Pioli, and I just knew this was the place for me. And I said, you know, I've never been a guy that played for money or anything like that. I played because I love the game and passion and money and whatever came with it. And so when I signed, I knew it was the right thing. I knew I just wanted to get out of the AFC West. I wanted something new. I wanted something fresh. And Coach Bill and I, we just connected. And once we connected, I said, looked at my agent and told him, hey, man, just go work out a deal. This is the place I want to be. And the rest is history.
So, Rodney, I just look at this tweet. Mike Lombardi, he congratulated you on being selected in the Hall of Fame. But he tweeted out, he was 5 minutes away from being a Raider. Said the contract was typed, ready to go. We had him and lost him. That happened?
Yeah, because they were cheap. I mean, I can't play for free. I live out in California. I got people I got to take care of. They was offering me like $250,000 to sign. I'm like, you know, and I mean, it's a number, but it wasn't enough. It wasn't what I was worth. And you know, I think Coach Belichick came in. He really valued me as a player, as a person, and he showed me a lot of respect. And that's what I wanted. I mean, you know, money is cool, but I want the respect and the knowledge. I wanted to be able to go from losing to winning, and it happened. I mean, when I came here, I actually learned how to play football on a different level. And I think, Christian, you can speak to that. I'm sure you share your thoughts all the time with how mentally strong and prepared we were every single week when we played. And it was just fun. I mean, like, people think that, you know, I know some of the Eagles are talking about it's no fun playing for the Patriots. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of hard work, a lot of sacrifice. And, you know, but it's nice to go out there and bust your tail and work your ass off and know that you're appreciated. And we thank the fans because the fans pushed us. It drove us because these fans are very intelligent. You know, if you're soft, if you don't play hard, they will let you know. And they've let us know on a few occasions. But it was just great, man. You know, and I'm very grateful for Coach Belichick for ultimately believing in me.
So Lombardi was telling the truth about the Raiders.
No, he was not. He never had him in the first place. How are you going to lose him?
Yeah, but he never said he came with any real money. You know what I'm saying? You can't. You know, have and throw peanuts out there. I mean, at that point, I wasn't starving. I wasn't desperate or anything like that. But you know, you have to. You know, when you come financially, you got to come correct.
I want to ask you about the. the identification you came with. I remember when you first got here from San Diego, people here in New England would say, oh, he's a dirty player, but he's our dirty player or whatever. Did that ever bother you that people would do that elsewhere in the country? And once you were a New England player, everybody loved you here, but that's what other teams would say. They would talk about that. That ever bother you?
Man, I didn't give a damn what anybody thought. I was a kid from Markham, Illinois. I knew I had my mom to take care of, and I knew I had to go out there and get it. So anytime I got on the football field, I played every play like it was my last play. I didn't care what color you were. If you were offense, even if you were my teammate, you were the enemy at that point in time. It was just my mindset, you know, and it's a lot different now. The mindset of these, you know, NFL players is different. It's just, you know, the way I was kind of born to play. So, you know, I just wanted to go out there and set an example every single day. And, you know, Coach Belichick, the greatest compliment he ever gave me is said I was the best practice player he had in 35 years. That meant a lot to me because I worked my butt off. And Junior Seau helped establish that work ethic when I first came in the league. He told me, he says, you know, you get paid to practice. You play the games for free. So I worked, and he worked extremely hard during practice and tried to practice every single play full speed. And that's why I would go on the scout team. That's why I would, you know, and take those type of reps, even the special team reps, you know, because I just wanted to prove myself, and I wanted to be part of the team, and I wanted to set that example every single week, and I thought I did that.
You know, I'm sure you're going to, you're going to be thinking about this, or maybe people are going to be asking you in the future before you give your speech. Remember, it's Fourier, okay? Fourier. Make sure you think Fourier. Give me one story that stands out to you.
Practice dummy. I used to shut down. Shut Christian down.
Yeah, I remember the holding.
Yeah. Christian, you were actually a lot better than what people gave you credit for. I wish we almost could target you a little bit more because you actually had really good routes in and out of breaks. You used to do this little subtle push off, and you know, used to cry. Oh, Rodney, stop holding, Tom. Tom, look the other way. It's like, dude, you're not catching any passes on me, Christian. It's just not gonna happen.
You forgot about all those battles in San Diego, right? We'll go back and I'll send you some clips.
By the way, that's why he voted for Seymour. He had problems with you and Vrabel.
You know what? The first touchdown I scored against San Diego when I was playing for the Patriots was against Rodney because Rodney was a guy where you know he couldn't resist to stopping the run. So play action, why pop all day long, Rodney?
No way.
Oh, please. All day long. But hold on. Let us kind of like, you know, throw some shine on you real quick, okay? Because I want to hear what what's your most memorable moment, okay, with the Patriots? Whether it be a story, whether it be a pep talk, whether it be a hit, a game, driving into the stadium. Give me your most memorable moment.
Oh, wow. One of the moments that I cherished the most was before we played against Philadelphia in the Super Bowl. Richard Seymour and I, we sat in the locker room, and I looked at him, and I said, Rich, I'm going to be the MVP of the Super Bowl. And he says, no, I'm going to be the MVP of the Super Bowl. And I said, okay, let's go get it. So I went out there, had a couple interceptions, a sack, 10, 12 tackles. And I'm thinking, you know, I got a chance. And he was like, hey, man, I think you're going to get this MVP. And they end up giving it to Branch. But it was all good. I mean, that was a great story. I mean, that was, you know, that was something memorable. We were in the locker room. It was a really special moment. But I have so many stories, man, just, you know, the time, you know, sitting at the breakfast table with Brady and really getting a chance to know him and what he stands for and everything. It's just so many memories, you know, and the special times were when we're on a plane, we're on a bus ride, talking to Asante Samuel, talking to a lot of the younger guys, kind of speaking into their lives. That's what I remember, and that's kind of the things that I miss the most about playing football.
So, Ronnie, I got to ask you, because Christian was saying that his memory sometimes, I worry about it, he's been hit a little bit a few many times, by you probably, but he said, is it true that you used to practice wearing a gold Rolex on the field?
Yeah, sometimes I would. I mean, I just put a wristband over it because, you know, it was my first Rolex, and I was like, I don't want to take it off. So I just, and it was like kind of good luck to me, so I felt like weird taking it off. So I would put like two or three wristbands on it. And guys are like, man, why you got wearing that Rolex? I'm like, hey, man, if it breaks, you know, I can just get another one.
I told those guys, I was like, it's no. Like, it's like, what are you? I was like, God, this is so weird. He would run around with this gold Rolex. I know it wasn't cheap.
I thought it had to be expensive. A knockoff. You know, they had the knockoff.
It was a Rolex.
I thought it was a knockoff from China.
No, the real thing.
Real?
Hey, I rocked too many knockoffs growing up. Now I can buy the real thing.
Yeah, and you just, yeah, but it was never a full padded day. It was usually a shell day with, you know, one of those things where you can hold and get away with it and nobody would say anything.
I'll see how you guys deal with Christian every day.
Yeah, we know what it's like. Trust us. We're talking to Rodney Harrison, the newest member of the New England Patriots Hall of Fame. You were talking about great moments. And the one that, and I'm looking, all these people are putting lists together.
Fly, Eagles, fly.
Yeah, the 10 greatest games by Rodney Harrison. And one was the Carolina game in which he had the broken arm. We joke about it here, not because of what happened to you, but there's a picture of everybody being concerned about it, except for this lug over here.
Just walked away
like,
what am I supposed to do?
What's his problem? What's that wuss's problem?
I didn't know he's hurt.
He's not going to play.
I'm not supposed to know he's hurt.
You got to understand, he did the right thing because, I mean, if my arm is broke, I'm no good. So he has to make sure that he's focused, that he's tuned into the game. So that was kind of our theme, next man up, you know, and the next guy has to be prepared. So
sound more and more like Bill every day.
Here's the other thing. Last thing for me, I sit there, I look at some of the, I guess, memorable, popular safeties of the world. And I feel like I've had this discussion with you before. I feel like when it comes to the NFL Hall of Fame, I know this, it's a great honor to be in the Patriots Hall of Fame. I get it. But as far as the NFL Hall of Fame, I really feel like there's this stigma attached to you, which isn't warranted when it comes to greatest safeties that's ever played the game. Because I played against all of them. And everyone looks to guys like John Lynch as like the next guy to get into the Hall of Fame. And whenever somebody asks me about it, I say, John was a great player, but wasn't even – I personally don't feel – he was close to your ability and as far as the physicality that you brought to the game. Do you feel like that's a fair statement when people, you know, reference that?
I can't speak for other people, and John was a great player as well as Brian Dawkins and stuff like that. But quite honestly, I can't put a finger on one safety that I felt like that I played against that was better than me. Point blank period. I put my numbers, I put my tape against anybody. I put my production against any of them. And it's no knock on them. They were great players. Those are guys that I admire. I have their jerseys hanging down the stairs in my basement. But when it came to football, I know I could play, and I know I could play on a high level. And I made big plays when it mattered most. And, you know, so it doesn't matter about the Pro Football Hall of Fame. If they don't want to let me in, that's fine. But like I said yesterday when I was in an interview, the fact that the fans voted me in, they got a chance to see me play every single week. They know how hard I played and the passion that I play with. That's good enough for me. That's good enough for me because I can't force anybody to like me. I can't force anybody not to look at me because of reputation, because of things what happened. And that's the thing I loved about the Patriots. When I came here, they gave me a clean slate. They said, Rodney, just go play football. That's what Coach Bill said. Go play football. Be a leader. Be who you are. And that's why I love him to this day, because he allowed me to be me. And I don't care what they say. I got Super Bowl championships, which I would never trade in for the Hall of Fame. And then I'm a member of the Patriots Hall of Fame. That's good enough for me. I'm okay. I'm in a good place with that.
So, Rodney, I want to ask you one question about this current team and how you feel. Rob Gronkowski, retirement. Do you think he stays retired? And if he does, is this Patriots team vulnerable without him?
No, I don't think the team is vulnerable, first of all, with or without him, because, you know, just over the years, he's, you know, Coach Belichick and the Patriots have proven they can win. They can win without me, Tom, Rob Gronkowski, and that's just what they do. You know, we as the Patriots, we win. Will he be back? I believe that he will. I believe that, you know, the second half of the season, he's going to get antsy. Right now, it's summertime, and you're hot, and everybody's on you. But I think when you sit back and you actually start missing football, and you look up and you see, oh, my body feels pretty good, I think he'll be back. I think there's a possibility. But people thought I was crazy when I said last year, hey, I would sign Rob, and I would sit him maybe the first month and a half of the season, maybe the first couple months, and just let him play the second half of the season, the latter part of the season, to keep them healthy and fresh.
It is amazing, Rodney. We're talking about your career back in 03, 04, 05. And here we are looking at 2019, and the run is still continuing for this franchise.
The same quarterback.
It's same quarterback. It is like, what the hell are we living through here? Unbelievable.
You know what? And you know what's pretty cool? I got a chance, you know, when I interviewed Tom this, you know, this past season, and I saw him on Jimmy Kimmel. The guy looks so good. I mean, he's taking such great care of himself. And a lot of people, oh, he's done. He's done. I'm like, the guy just won a Super Bowl like 3 months ago, and now you're saying he's done? It's unbelievable how many people sit back and, you know, almost in a sense, like pray for his downfall. It's like this, he takes care of his body, works extremely hard, and he's still a very productive guy. So if he wants to play a few more years, you know, everybody should be okay with that.
It's unbelievable. Till 50, maybe. Who the hell knows? Hey, Rodney, congratulations. It's an incredible honor, well-deserved, and we look forward to seeing you when you come up here for the induction, the ceremonies. And we'll see if we can get a few bucks, extra bucks out of the boss, because we love talking to you every week, because you were as honest and frank as anybody when it comes to this stuff. So maybe we can work something out. Maybe Lombardi will give us a few extra bucks. You can get it for him.
Well, if you guys need to holler at me, I'm always around, man. Thanks again. I appreciate you guys' support. Thanks, Chris.
All right, man.
You got it, Rodney. Congratulations. Rodney Harrison, the newest member of the Patriots Hall of Fame. We take a quick break. We'll get back to the phone calls. We'll get back to the Celtics and the Bruins. We know people are a little bit pissed today. We'll get to your calls next.